Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Silver Fox.
Did you watch the Apple TV one he did when he's a therapist?
No.
It's
Apple TV? I thought it was on the FX one, The Patient.
Yeah,
FX.
It's not on Apple TV.
It's Disney Plus.
Disney. It is good. That right there. Mm. And who's he acting against? What's his name?
I can't remember.
Yo, crazy. I can't see that. I don't know.
It's like industry.
Because
that was television.
Television, yeah.
Because I'm saying something really outlandish.
Get it out of the way.
I finished.
I love that show.
That started to give uncut gems after a while.
I haven't watched uncut gems. I know.
What are you
going to
say?
Wow.
I know.
That's an anxiety attack in a movie.
I'll give a watch because people were talking about it. I think this must come on, 2020?
The whole thing basically.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. One of those.
Yeah, I didn't watch so many films back then.
Fair.
Yeah, I want a period of a low.
Industry's
great.
Filming now. At South By, I was at the conference with the...
How was it?
The writer, isn't it?
Cool, man. I really wanted to ask a question. I wanted to ask a question about Rishi. Like, why they decided to give him like a particular episode where they focused on him.
Yeah.
That was the greatest episode in the entire program.
Man. It was really good. That episode and the end of episode, is it 8 of season 3? Or was it 6? They do 8 episodes, innit? For industry.
I think so. Which episode are you referring to?
Oh, when my boy Rob, man.
Oh, that's the very last episode.
Yeah, when he obviously sleeps with Yaz, and then
she
gets back with Henry Mark.
Oh,
yeah,
that episode was so good.
It made me cry, but it was needed.
Yeah.
And like honestly, I
loved it because that was so real.
It tore me up, so that's why that's when you knew you had a good episode. When it's like, my boy, and Rob had such a good journey.
Yeah.
He did.
He found himself finally in like season 3, which was cool, man.
Bless him.
One of my friends.
I don't see him being happy in the future in his life.
I see him being
his boss. You know his boss that passed away?
He's not going to be in season 4.
Is he not?
No.
He's done.
Shame.
He said he thinks his character's gone as far as it's...
Yeah, I get
that's
that
crazy,
well.
Though. I don't think so.
I wouldn't mind like a few guests. I get it, because he said at the end of every episode, he kept having this sad puppy look in his face. He's like, bro, what more can my character do?
Yeah.
Every time, like, sad, sad, sad.
That's
kind of
true, though.
That's such a funny
thing. Yeah.
All you do is cry.
It's
cry,
real,
cry,
though.
Cry.
Yeah, bro, it's facts. Like, bro, if you don't...
And he had a good journey, man, from like a dopey douchebag into, like, someone who had found himself somewhat. I don't think he'd completed his journey, though, which is the cool part, because you left a bit ambiguous as to where he's going to go next.
Can you look, he's doing a talk. At the end of it, like when he was talking to the camera,
yeah,
it looked like he was elsewhere doing like a new job. He's in Silicon Valley, isn't it?
Yeah, he did.
I really took that job.
Oh, he joined his friend. Oh, who's that guy?
I'm just happy for him.
Who's the black guy?
Yasmin.
Gus.
Yes.
Did he join Gus?
Yeah, Gus is doing the Silicon Valley stuff. He was doing it with Jesse, the investor.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. The woman, by the way, is it Nicole? What a horrible woman.
Yeah, that's literally a disgusting human being.
When the after, one of my friends, Abby, started watching Industry like a week ago.
Yeah.
I think she's on season 3 right now, like episode 6 or 7. She might have been caught up by now.
It's a straight binge.
Oh, like big mummies like that though, we need more, man.
We don't.
No, not like her.
She was
for particular, I don't know.
Not like her.
Fuck. No, he's a sick fuck.
He's a sicko, bro.
No, he's a sick fuck as well. Yeah.
What killed her in the end?
Drugs?
I think she drugged or drank too much because she crashed her head on like the table or something. And he found her the next day. No, she was asleep outside. Something happened outside.
Yeah. Maybe she bumped her head before and I can't remember. You haven't watched the show, have you?
Nope. You're lacking, man.
Sorry.
Yeah, hey.
You're lacking.
I'm saying this now.
You've got lacking.
Like, disagreeing.
They're filming season 4, so you've got some time to catch up.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Adults?
I heard good things.
I binged the whole thing. Adults is so good.
Someone was like, if you liked overcompensating, you'd love Adults.
No,
and
I heard that overcompensating was really bad.
It's terrible.
To Adults. So then I watched Adults and I was like, this is banging.
Okay, I'll give Adults a watch then. Because someone was if you loved overcompensating, I was like, don't give me terrible sessions.
No. People who liked Adults hated overcompensating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My community.
And that's why I didn't watch overcompensating. After it's so bad. Adults, I was like, I'm not gonna watch.
Don't watch overcompensating. That is terrible TV.
Okay.
Oh, let's get Jason involved in the conversation. We'll stop talking about things you haven't watched.
Okay.
Goodness me, man.
It's like you had a good conversation there. I didn't want to interrupt.
Before we start again, because I was listening to the bet episode we did last year, And obviously, at the beginning, we start talking about something. I can't remember what it was. Jason had watched it. Then we did a whole 30, 40 minutes of Super Soul. Jason had watched it. Then when we start the bear, we're like, oh yeah, Jason, you can finally get involved.
That's when you got some work to do, good fella.
No, I have watched Super Soul.
Now you have.
Yeah, now.
That's when we started the whole black bias thing. But I say, I like something, and then they go, yeah, it's black bias.
Who's there? He's just supposed to do it.
No, no. Jay started it. Are you joking?
I didn't start it.
When I did my best shows last year, and that's a superstar, he said, that's black bias. That is black bias.
Shut up, I'm going to get Gucci.
That was a bit of...
Shut up, Gucci.
We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original lovers of film, TV and theatre, back in the studio today to talk about one of the best shows on TV right now. And I'm really excited to preview season 4 and to deep dive into the previous seasons, 3 of which for me are either good to very, very good seasons of TV. Mm-hmm. Kiz, how you doing, sir? Quick one on the mic for you. All good?
I'm good. Listen, a yellow card.
You know what?
That's a telling off. That's what I'm doing.
That's what I'm doing. That's why I invented the rule, that stuff like that.
He's played a role in the 5K on the YouTube, so we have to. Jeez. Yeah. Deserves his flowers.
But yeah, I bet I'm all good. How are you guys?
Good, man. We've got a friend of the show in the building.
Woo! Yes, sir.
Round of applause for Huda. How are you?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
Cheers. No, we are excited to have you here as well. Do you watch The Bear?
I love The Bear.
Then you're involved in the conversation. Yeah. Here we are. Manny, how'd you do?
I'm doing great, my guy. Man.
You don't even need to tell me too much. You're fine because we're going to talk about The Bear.
Yeah, I am talking about The Bear. Good stuff. Excited to talk about my favourite characters.
Exactly. Jace?
I'm good, man. Excited to get into this episode.
I remembered something interesting about you, funnily.
Go on.
Season 3 is your favourite season, which I find so interesting.
Season 3 is my favourite season.
That's so interesting to me.
I love that TV show so much.
We'll get into
it. I'm going to do the Manny thing.
I love this season.
I'm going to do the Manny thing. Yeah, do it.
So much fun, do it.
He's going to zag.
For me, it is the best TV show I've seen.
Oh yeah, it's your favourite ever?
It's my favourite ever.
Look at him smiling.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
I love that for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
When someone's happy like that generally, and I kind of see it, I'm like, yeah.
As long as they're not us.
So, how are you?
I'm great. Is this bad what I'm doing right now?
You do your thing. We will carry the sort of front half of this, and then when you're ready, you lock in.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, guys.
And The Bear, man. You know how much I love this series, man. So we're ready to lock in, guys. Quick question for you. What, Jason? I'll start with you.
Yeah.
When did you start watching the show? And more interestingly, what was it about The Bear that sort of piqued your interest? Why did you start watching it, and what kept you watching?
Do you know what? I fell onto it like by chance. I can't remember when the first season
chance
came out.
Sorry, can't help it.
There you go.
Sorry, man.
But it's the German in him.
Oh, don't remind me.
Okay.
No, but
how did you say it like that?
I don't know.
It was so dark for no reason.
Just adding a little bit of drama, innit?
Spice finger.
Add a little bit to the lore. We don't know what happened in Germany.
Jason.
Anyway.
Season 3 of The Bear, or why you like the show. Come on, let's go.
No, my bad. So I can't remember exactly when the first season came out. I think it came out like, I want to say 2021 in the UK.
I'm going to lean towards 22, but it could be 21.
Yeah, 21, 22. And I just saw it on Instagram where like...
22.
Yeah, 22. Oh, okay, yeah. Come on, man, T.
Like, Disney Plus just did a crazy, crazy push for it. Like, It was on socials, and I was just like, all right, let me check it out.
Mm.
And then, like, as soon as I watched it, I was locked in from there.
Is it? Got you straight away?
Got me straight away. I was just like, yeah, this is a fantastic TV show.
Yes, I'm interested in your origin story, because when we started the pod, when we started talking about it, obviously you weren't part of the gang yet. So when did you get into the show?
Was I not?
No.
Mm-mm.
Damn. How did was you? That when I wasn't here?
It was Bliss.
Yeah.
Bliss without Bliss.
It was Bliss without Bliss.
You guys don't mean that for real.
Yeah, you walked into that one. I'm not going to hold you. You walked into that one.
What do you think I'm going to say?
There was no other answer.
Yeah.
But my life has remained the same.
When did I actually start The Bear? Do you know what? Yeah. I saw it was similar to you. I remember when we spoke about this. I was like, there was so much push for this. Surely something good must come up there.
So, interesting. I didn't see that push.
I know. It was that. And it was the adverts before the YouTube videos. Yeah. That's what was doing me the most. That one right there.
Literally.
And this is when YouTube were pushing for YouTube Premium. So the ads were like an all-time high. And the Bear one was a minute and a half. So I was sitting through it being like, oh, wait. I might go watch this. Also, I finished rewatching Devious Maids. So it was already on Disney.
Disney.
Yeah, I was like, oh, run it. Then I watched it in a day.
Mm. Yeah, that first season. So interestingly, and I'm interested to get your thoughts, Hoda, in a second. Interesting, the first season for me is a binge. It fits perfectly for a series that you would binge.
Mm.
And I'm not a binger. I don't like to binge. You know how I feel about
it.
But season two onwards, I think it becomes a series of its own, and it finds its feet, and it knows where it wants to take its characters. I don't think season two is a binge. I think season two is that good, it shouldn't be a binge.
Season two is the easiest binge out of all three of them.
That's crazy.
Season two was the easiest binge for me. Season one, I binged it because I'm going to binge anyway. But season two, it was like, oh, damn. So I really haven't moved all day. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Like, honestly, it was the binge, innit?
I don't remember binging season one, but I definitely binged season two. But
because
I
it's that good,
how
I get
they
it.
Got released, though. Was it like weekly?
No,
I got
released.
No, it was once.
You can watch on Disney Plus.
No, so
okay. Yeah.
I was a
no.
Yeah.
The way I found out about the show was, I love like cooking programs, like you know, like when you watch like Five Star Chef or like Master Chef and all of that stuff. I watch all of that. So I watched. Do you guys know a show called Burning?
Yeah.
No. Oh no, sorry, Boiling Point.
Boiling Point.
Oh.
Boiling
Point. Yeah.
So I watched the movie of that. The then they made a show.
Oh, with Sanji.
Sanji.
Wait,
it's Sanji's in it from One Piece.
Yo, I think it might be the TV show.
Oh,
the film is really good. I haven't seen the series, you know, but the film is good for Boiling Point, man.
So wait, good.
There's a Boiling Point series?
Yeah, they turned it from a film into a series.
Yeah.
Stephen Graham, yeah.
Okay.
And it has that same like Uncut Gems, Good Time sort of anxiety in a movie thing. Because that's what cooking's about, basically. Stressful.
Especially like if you're working in a restaurant. Because I have friends who do work in a restaurant, like, or in a kitchen, I guess, so say. And then they were like, they're always like, it's super stressful all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, wow. Okay. And I feel like with the bear, it captures that.
Exactly. But yeah, so I saw an article saying something like burned out chef starting a restaurant in Chicago. And I said, by God, I'm ready.
You was sold at the burned out.
Yeah.
He was like, anxiety, yes.
Yes.
I was like, oh.
Mental health, let's go.
Let's go.
Do you typically watch anxiety-inducing TV shows?
I got introduced it.
The answer is yes. I promise you.
By like the Safdie brothers and like their style of making movies.
Mm.
So, apart away from the Safdie bros, I don't know if I've watched like anxiety inducing films.
Okay.
Much like that, but yeah, chef stuff. Oh, come on, Gordon Ramsay, Kitchen Nightmare.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? So I was so ready to watch the bear, and then I watched it and I was like, this is like part stressful but so slice of life, like so relaxing, it's beautiful, like Chicago, like you know how they wake up 4 a.m, it's dark, they get on the train, like and that's why I love the bear for that reason.
Yeah,
no, you guys don't understand how happy she is
right now. For me, that shows for me, guys.
Manny, actually don't remember, you might remember when I got into it. I just remember watching it.
We spoke about it, like.
Yeah, but I don't remember specifically why I got into it. I'm sure you watched it before I did. And I think it must have been either when season two just got released
on the way,
or just about to be released. And I remember binging season one, and I liked it away.
I'm proud of you guys.
Yeah, I binged on Department Q, Depth Q recently as well.
Well done! I'm so proud of you.
I know you are. I knew you would
watching
be.
Watching that right now.
It's a good series.
Good
betrayed
TV.
My cousin. Like, they had a big tiff last
night. Oh, because
she watched it all without her, yeah.
I hate watching movies or shows with people, you know? Because you guys don't take binging seriously. It pisses me off.
I'm a real binger.
Yeah, you got to binge it or don't. Just don't commit something you can't do.
Fairs.
Depth
Q is a really good TV show. Have you watched it?
No.
It's really good TV.
Okay.
But yeah, The Bear season one, I just remember really enjoyed it. Liked the characters right away. That's what got me stuck and carrying watching. It's like very, I think they do this thing, especially in season one, where it's very intense, but I don't know when to give you a break without realizing it. Because I think there's an episode, I can't remember if it's episode 6 or 7, but we get a really chilled out episode where not much really happens in terms of intensity.
The reason that might be episode 6, because episode 7 is review, and that's the one take episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like the manic, chaotic episode. Where people are dropping things and people are fighting. I think Richie got stabbed.
Yeah, yeah. But
that's the chaotic one.
Yep.
And they know where to place. As you said, throughout even season 2 and 3, they know where to implement elements of chaos and anarchy and then sort of solitude and calm. So yeah, no, I'm with you, man.
Do you know what I love about that show is that they obviously sent everyone to culinary school beforehand.
Yeah.
So like, you do actually feel like they know what they're doing, because they actually do know what they're doing.
And my guy Fak is an actual
chef. So good. Like, even I did, like, when they were doing that press for it, and she was like, oh, the things I learned from culinary school. And I was like, wait, they actually went to culinary school, and like, they're proper good in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It just works. Like, every, like...
Yeah, because Palmy looks like a natural chef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he actually went to that actual Danish one that they showed in season 2, I think.
We're going to talk about that beautiful episode. Okay. That is a that's one of your favourites.
Stunning episode.
Yeah. I think with season 1, interestingly, is visually, it depicts the kitchen, how you feel it to be, in terms of it's run down, it's dirty, it's unkept, it's under Richie's sort of command, and Kami comes in, and I think by the end of season 1, you see the transition visually as sort of like a yellowy, green, very unkept aesthetic. And by the end of season 1 and then into season 2, and the end, if you compare the start of season 1 to the end of season 2, you see the transformation of the kitchen visually, not just through Tina's transformation or through Marcus's transformation, but visually as well, you see how much this kitchen's changed. And I think they take so much pride in how the series looks, which is why I love the series as much as I do. It's not just about the storytelling. That's great. It's not just about the characters. Brilliant. But it's also about how the series looks. Love the bit. This, why are you smiling?
Because you're just so happy. And
oh, no, the guys loves.
I love this.
Yeah.
Love, I love the characters, man.
Yeah.
Like,
Tina's journey.
Oh, my God.
I cried.
God.
Yeah. I cried at her episode.
Yeah, that episode, it did a lot. It did
oh,
a lot
my
for me.
Gosh.
But when you first meet her, what did you think about Tina when you first met her?
I loved her straight away.
I liked it. I think she was just really like strong-willed. And she's just kind of like, you're not going to come in here after not coming to this place like almost ever. That's what the vibe Kami was given. It's like,
but her issue was less with Kami though.
It was
but it was like, it's a change. She didn't like the change as a whole. She's like, you guys aren't gonna come in here and say we can't do certain things and we've done it like this the whole time. And like, in her mind, the place is okay. Like, it's working. She's getting
paid.
But
by the time you get to her episode as well, right, you can really understand why she was so apprehensive from everything.
But it's nothing. It's not. That's why I liked her straight away. Yeah. Like, I actually get where she's coming from.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. She didn't want change. Yeah. She's like, she's getting older. She feels like she's going to get iced out as well. That's what the vibe she was giving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when her episode came and then the interaction where she's like, oh, I want to give you back your knife. And he's like, I didn't ask for it back.
But even with the fact, but she also benefits from the change. Like, and it goes to show, like, when you're somewhat open-minded to new ideas and new concepts, that's going to improve you as a person. She becomes a sous chef in season 2, working under Sydney. We'd never seen that transformation in their relationship from the start of season 1, but by season 2, episode 2, and I think she goes off for her training, she becomes a sous chef under Sydney, and like, their relationship, which makes Napkin such a great episode.
Yes,
because Aya wrote the episode for Tina's character. Oh man,
stunning,
man. Any standout aspects of season 1 for you guys?
The fact that Tina calls him Jeffrey.
I love that.
Because going from Chef to Jeff to Jeffrey, that's one of my favourite things.
Yeah.
That's a really good touch. Yeah. Right? What was the episode when they did, they had to cater the party?
That's brilliant,
Oh, when and they got the kids high.
Yeah.
No, it's before that even point, when they're like, when he's like, oh, I thought you were dead. And he's like, no, that's my brother. But he's unpacking all his things, That is, because the comedy element of the bear, everyone's like, it's not a comedy. I'm like, if you look at it, that's ridiculous.
It's funny.
That interaction there was enough for me to be like, that's fucking jokes. When being like, because he's unpacking, the comedy's just always so anxious. He's like, no, that's my brother. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Great. That's my favorite moment from season 1.
What did you guys make of the boy Richie?
Don't say it.
All right, no, because don't talk about the episode.
Yeah.
Your initial thoughts on Richie.
I'm trying to not.
Yeah, I know exactly what you wanted to say. I think he was definitely a character that needed a lot of growth because he had Carmi coming in and he was trying to keep him, I guess, at arm's length in terms of his interaction with the. What was it called before? It wasn't called the bear.
The beef.
And the interaction that he has with the people outside, with the local people, and when he lets off the shot in the air. Like, I really liked his character from the very
beginning.
Shows
where he is needed in some aspects.
Yeah.
Like, his character is necessary despite his flaws.
Yeah.
Even with when them lot lacked money and they had to get Richie to do a drug deal, in order for them to flip some money for the beef. I really like the characters, like from his character from very early on, because I knew how needed he was. Yeah. He was like, you can tell that he wasn't necessarily a very polished individual, but he's very much needed for the beef at that time.
Yeah, there's elements of season one that I really enjoy as well. Like Kami's initially very resistant to any sort of like idea of therapy and going to speak to someone about his issues, which we know he has.
Many of them.
Yeah, he's got loads of issues, but what we know about him, they're so understandable, man. Yeah.
Oh no, they're valid. I think he still needs to get help.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Get while you're there, but yeah. Let's get it sorted. You know,
like you know the start of episode two, and it's so like pristine, and it's white, and everything looks great, and you can tell it's dreamy, but you can also tell this is a pristine restaurant that he was working in.
Yeah,
and you've got Chef David like shouting commands and orders and telling him he's a piece of shit and telling him he's this and that.
But he's saying that something. There's one, what's the moment when he's just like, he's speaking to him very softly, but basically saying like, you're terrible.
Diabolical shit.
That right there.
Diabolical work.
Yeah, dark.
That's, no, that is the most unsettling thing.
And it haunts him throughout the three seasons.
Well, who says that to him, Kami?
Chef David says that to Kami.
Yeah, because he's like, he's remaking the same dish, isn't it? And he's
Is this the chef he sees at the end?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. The guy from Community.
Oh!
That's like his sleep paralysis thesis.
He is.
Yeah, for real.
It is.
And the episode 8, before we do review, I love the scene of Kami talking about his issues. I think it's like a 5 to 7 minute monologue of him just like spilling his emotions. And that's sort of the calm and solitude you spoke about, away from the chaos. Whereas the episode before, absolutely manic. Like review is one of the most intense episodes of TV I think I've ever seen. Like literally, camera work.
Who's he spinning his guts to again?
Yeah, it's the
therapy session. Yeah, and he was so resistant to it before. Yeah, he was super resistant. What's your favorite episode?
Wait, have you watched the bear?
Yeah. I know, I'm up to date with it, yeah. Oh, I just don't like it as much as you guys like it.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
So you don't know TV? That's okay.
No, that's number one. All right, cool.
That's okay.
Yeah, any episodes that stand out to you from season one before we dive into two?
Which can you remind me?
Two's my favourite. So we have System, which is episode one. You've got Hands, two. Brigade is three.
I liked Hands.
Dogs is 4, Sheridan is 5.
What happened just saying the names? Like,
I don't remember.
Because the names of the bear.
I remember specific moments.
No, because with the bear, they a lot of the titles of the episode kind of feels like the friends.
Yeah.
It's so closely related to
like
what happened.
Yeah,
like exactly
the,
that. Yeah. So I can just remember Hands. That's
What episode
like,
was
forks
it?
Forks and fishes, but the rest.
Yeah, literally. But what episode was it where Sid fucks up the orders?
Yes. Oh my goodness. I was going to talk
that's,
about it.
That's review,
season...
no?
Is that review? No, that's not review.
Well, season one.
That's season two.
Is that season two? No. That can't be
season, season one. It's second to last episode of season one. Is when
that's a review.
It's review. It's
yeah,
review.
That's, yeah, that's when they have the new, they bring the new system in.
Yeah.
And all the orders start coming in. You can see Kami.
I didn't think that was a review.
No, it is.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that's partly why he like gets lose it, yeah,
and that's why she quits,
because that's the one off.
Really, and I think, is it Marcus as well?
Marcus
fired.
Marcus fucks up.
Yeah, Marcus, stop fucking with me, Marcus.
Oh, because Marcus brings him his
the donut,
and he's bare proud.
Are you fucking with me? Stop fucking with me.
And you know what? Valid. I can't.
Bro, that is a valid crush out.
Crush out was absolutely understandable.
Absolutely understandable. Like, because. Like,
guys,
and then you know what was great? Kami tasted it after.
Yeah. It's like,
and it's like this is nice. No. We've got something here.
No, that crash out was valid.
Madness, you know? Kami, so we let him get away with absolute madness.
No, I'm sorry. Me too. If I was Kami, I'd be.
That was exactly. I know you were.
Because everybody.
Coming from you.
I know you were.
Have you seen the way he spoke to us?
Have you seen the way he spoke to us?
Yeah.
You valid crash out.
You were definitely worse, by the way.
Nah, then then review is my favorite episode in that.
From season one,
such a good episode.
I don't think I watched that episode in one sitting. I think I had to watch it 3 times. Like,
what?
It was too intense.
Yeah.
It was actually way too intense.
I couldn't look away.
Yeah, you had to power through, man.
I had to stop myself. I was like, bro, I'm not comfortable.
You can't take the heat in the kitchen.
Yeah, I can't.
Built for that.
I'm not built for it. So I took it out.
No, I do be pausing sometimes when it gets too intense. I do pause.
Bro, it's a lot, man.
I only stop things when I get secondhand embarrassment. Then I will stop.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I know the feeling, man. I know the feeling. But who were your standout characters? They do cross over from season to season. But who were your standout characters
season
from
one.
The first?
Sydney.
Yeah.
What was it about her for you? And Ayo was a super...
I just love Ayo. I can't lie, I just love her.
I just love
it would be her for all of them.
Yeah.
But it was optimism.
Her in every season. Richie at some point.
Season...
We'll get to Richie.
You Richie Glazers, man.
Yeah.
She's a glazer for Richie.
Oh my goodness.
I'm a Krispy Kreme for Richie.
Yeah. You know what, yeah, I just really, I really, really liked her optimism. I think season one, she felt quite optimistic. Like, she had ideas and plans for the beef and kind of like was working with Kami, like, oh, we could do this, commit this, great. So that's why Review was such a crazy episode, because her making that major mistake, and also Tina not rating her as well on top of that. Yeah, and then Kami being the only one that was on her side, turning her and being like, get the fuck out. And she's like,
and by that time,
startled. She can't believe
I have
it.
Nothing.
By that time, Tina has sort of stepped in like the Kami role, where she's now on Sydney's side and trying to be empathetic. Yeah. Kami's the one that's like crashed out.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like Tina only stepped in because she was like, oh, Kami's actually crashing out. Like, I actually can't tag team Kami on this one. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that interaction there, and then Marcus would be stupid as hell, bless him. Yeah. That right there made Sydney this my favourite character, because it was like, it was the way the camera kept panning. And she was kind of just in disbelief. Like, has Kami just spoken to you like that? Never had that relationship. That's what made it like. But it was just her being like, man, she really wanted that star. And she was ready to like, you know, oh, man.
But the series also does a great job of like, just capturing picturesque images and aspects of the series, whether it's Chicago, whether it's like the city as a whole, whether it's the food, whether it's the fine dining food or like the beef that they're cooking, like it captures the food beautifully. And that's another aspect of the series.
Did you, that's season three, don't worry. The first episode, season three?
Oh, tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Season two for me is one of the best seasons of TV I've seen
ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
You know what? I'm going to go there and say ever. Like, and you know what? Initially,
do the money thing.
Yeah, do the money thing.
But initially, I didn't love it. It's only when I got to the end and I got to the end of the journey. Because season two doesn't start off as chaotic as what I knew from The Bear.
Yeah.
Season two starts off kind of slow because they're now making The Bear and it's transforming from the beef. And they're all going on their sort of different journeys. Mm-hmm. So initially, I wasn't sure in season two. But by the end, it's such a gratifying payoff. Mm-hmm. For the journeys that they all go on differently, other than maybe Kami, who's stuck in the fucking same cycle.
Yeah.
Like, they all go on different, like, learning journeys. Tina goes off with
Ibro.
What a guy, Ibro, man.
Oh, my smiley uncle.
All right. And I like what they did with him in season three, which we'll get to. They did something with him, which I thought was really cool. Honeydew is... Do you want to talk about Honeydew or...
Remind me of
Marcus.
So what Honeydew...
Is that the Marcus ep in...
Is episode four.
Is that with Will Poulter?
Season two.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. We've been...
Now that is the episode.
With the man of the man himself.
Do you know what?
Will Poulter.
That made me realise that really The Bear did. Was such a good episode, because they could have done something stupid, like make his grandma pass. Whilst he was like, and that was why I was so on edge, because I was like, oh, if they do that, I'm not going to enjoy the show, because it's just so predictable and the show hasn't been that up to this point. So when like he's still checking in on his grandma and she's not in great health, but she hasn't passed, I was like, okay, good. There's like, this needs to be a standalone moment.
Yeah.
And honestly, that choice of not doing that made it one of my favourite episodes.
I don't know if it came from the writers or somebody just said it, or it was quoting them, saying that I think The Bear has built up this thing where something bad is always tends to happen with The Bear. So with Honeydew specifically, they purposely kept leaning into something potentially bad happening.
Yeah.
But never allowing it to get to that point, because they feel like there's so much that happens within that season.
Rami Youssef directed that episode.
Who?
Rami Youssef.
Really?
Oh.
I did not know that.
Cooked.
Pick up him. He's in the studio as well.
Yeah.
I love him in the studio.
He's in Mountain Head as well.
Really?
Oh. He's probably the best part of the film.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lock in. Yeah. But yeah.
For a second, I thought he meant he's in the studio making music. Then I realised the studio. My heart was beating.
The TV show. I was like, no.
I was like, oh no. I said, like, I thought he was like rapping. Oh. Yeah.
No, I think Honeydew.
We have enough of them. But
Honeydew is a beautiful episode. Visually, I think it goes without saying how beautiful it is visually, but I think it's worth also
the boat
bringing up.
Yeah.
The boat.
Which particular aspect of the boat did you enjoy? Because there's a few different things that happen.
My favourite part is like, it's just us seeing the boat, seeing where he's staying. So it's watching him leave like this kitchen. Also, I'm related, sorry. You didn't even ask me this question. But Will Poulter, what is the name of his character? I don't want to keep saying anything.
I've forgotten.
Will Poulter's character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my man, why are they...
Marcus,
yeah. Their interaction versus Kami's and Chef David, yeah. It felt like it could have been that and it wasn't that. And it was like him being like, yeah, you're still fucking up, but I'm gonna give you a chance to actually get better.
Yeah.
Hey, and then
what, Chef Lucas.
Chef Lucas. Him versus Chef David. My goodness, because Chef David is actually a wicked man.
Chef David is insane, I mean, we'll eventually get to it once we get to season three. But
I think what you see with Chef Lucas is he has an element of like command when he's telling Marcus what he's doing, but he does it in such like a calm and placid way. There's still an aura of goodness me.
Right.
There's still an
word.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a, yeah. You're watching.
Oh, social media has cooked all of our brains.
Don't let them silence you, Queen.
There's an element of authority to what he's saying, but he does.
Why did you change it? Just say aura.
Nah, man. But there are elements of such calm and care in what he's saying, in helping Marcus become better at what he does. Mm-hmm. And because he's seen what Carmi was and worked under Carmi, he's probably just taken the elements that Carmi's great at and what he doesn't want to implement from Carmi and implemented that in how he mentors someone, which I think was great.
Yeah, and I just loved that interaction. And then him leaving like, this really beautiful, gorgeous establishment and then going to this little boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like the shot of him just getting onto the boat.
And or like when he calls Io at night and stuff.
It's just really like, back to real life or back to like the elements of like Chicago. Yeah. The boat kind of felt like Chicago.
And his crush. He's a crush on Sydney, isn't it? That's his crush, man.
Yeah, but...
Do you know people said the relationship between Marcus and, what is it, Chef Lucas is like mad homoerotic? Like...
When they had it seemed in...
Yeah!
Oh. I can see it.
Do you know what? Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah, a lot of people go into that bag. I can see that, though. I can see that. It was very... intimate. That was a very intimate scene.
Yes. Super intimate. Yeah.
But I think they do it so well throughout, like every time they are cooking, they do make it like this intense, intimate
personal moment,
if you want to call it
like Sid Carmi.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of. Usually I love
I'm not, okay, I'm not a fan of Sid Carmi. I don't want that to happen.
You have to let me land, That's what I'm saying. You have to let me land. So I told you, the bear does things really well. So it's not as if I was like shipping them, But if
they created intimacy between them.
Yeah, but if it happened, I wouldn't have been angry because the bear treats the characters really well, yeah? And that scene, I think it's in season two or season three, when they're fixing the table.
Screwed underneath the table.
Season
that
two.
That is the most... That's a sex scene. That's a sex scene, And then when he's like, oh, can I move? I'm like, oh my goodness, should I give them room? Like, it was actually, I'm like, I was watching. I was
like, should I be watching this?
I was like, oh my goodness.
I closed his door, like.
And then season three, Carby is genuinely fighting for, he's like, I feel like at any moment in season three, he could have just put a gun to his own head. Yeah. That's why I didn't ship them season three. But season one and two, I was like, if you guys want it to happen, just do it well. I trust you. Yeah. But season three, I said, God forbid. Free my sister Sydney. I don't want to near that boy.
No.
So yeah, I wasn't shipping them, but.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad if they.
I think I'm part into it because I loved that table scene. And you're right. Yeah. That was so intimate. That was so like, should I give you guys some room?
Yes.
But at the same time, I think what it would mean for Sydney to be with Carmi is what I don't like. Like that aspect of, I don't know, because he's like with somebody else right now and it's kind of, if they got together, it's giving like the guy who didn't look at the girl until it was too late. Mm. Like one of those things where...
It would fall into like certain tropes.
Yeah, or that. Like she's, you know, pining for him. I don't want her to live like that. Like, just do you. Like, forget Carmi.
Yeah, but also Carmi, I feel like Carmi, honestly... is always at the brink of like potential suicide.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah,
and that's
for sure.
That's 100%. The reason I think Carmi needs to be with Carmi. Carmi needs to deal with Carmi first, and then deal with someone else after. But
he's like that. And I think Shelby mean like
We see that in season two though. Like throughout season two, he struggles. He seems to really struggle to balance multiple things at once.
Yeah,
and he at the end of season two, the episode The Bear, where he's, you know, we'll talk about that later maybe, but. He's confessing his feelings and he thinks he's talking to Tina, but he's talking to Claire Bear. Mm-hmm. Like, he clearly can't, like, focus on multiple things. And he's dedicated so much of his life to, like, this one thing. Mm. This one thing has to be the thing. But Claire's, like, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him. Mm-hmm. And it seems to fit perfectly. But, you know, the cliche, oh, it's at the wrong time. Or
relationship doesn't
move. He's a classic bag fan.
Claire Bear didn't move you?
I'm not moved.
No, it doesn't.
But I don't think it was meant to move.
Yeah, I know. It's not meant to move us. Yeah. But I at least wanted to, like, I want Carmi to be happy.
Yeah.
But Carmi doesn't want Carmi to be happy. No. And that's the issue. That's like, I feel like I'm fighting for something and he doesn't even want.
But I enjoyed the episode where he goes off with her to a party, like, and he had it probably, I think he said he hadn't been to a party for like 10, 15 years and it was the first time.
Oh, he's so socially awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
Makes sense though.
Yeah.
I liked it for asking about understanding of who Carmi is, but I just don't care for the chemistry that them two have as a
As a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have said that. Like, and I don't know how I feel because I did quite enjoy, like, Claire Bear, like, throughout the scene. But I do think that she was just, I guess, maybe there just as a vehicle for us to understand Kami more towards the end.
100%.
Especially.
Yeah.
I was hoping, especially when we get onto season three, that we are going to, I guess, flesh out that relationship more rather than just feel like, really?
Yeah, I think it being so surface level or us thinking that there's more to it and there isn't, is what the relationship is meant to be. Because I feel like Kami is, he's like constantly holding on to the past. We see that throughout all three seasons. He's on to the past and trying to long for, he thinks he needs love. He thinks he needs all these things. But what he really needs is to deal with his own emotions.
He does.
But he's like, anything to distract you, even borderline. And then telling everyone else like, oh yeah, me and Claire Bear. And it's like, oh yeah, go for Claire Bear. Like Claire Bear, you and Claire Bear. Now worshipping something that you don't even really want. Like, you feel like you've been told that you need to have like this nuclear family home. So he's trying to do that, but he doesn't really want it. So I think it being so surface level is perfect.
Okay.
100%.
No, fair.
Interesting. I know your favourite episode, and I don't necessarily like disagree.
It's not even my favourite episode. It's just like, it's the one that sticks with me the most.
But I want to talk about Fishes before we talk about that.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Fishes is the best episode in the series.
Understandable.
Visually, it does what it needs to do. It tells us where this is in terms of time period. Some of the colour palettes, especially in the house, insane, man. Yeah. And it tells you this is like a hostile environment without saying too much. You get some crazy guest appearances, bro. Sarah Paulson. Bob Odenkirk, like Rob Delaney. Is it Rob Delaney? Yeah, no?
Rob Mulaney.
Is
that Better Call Saul?
That's Bob Odenkirk.
That's Bob.
Oh, that's Bob. Okay.
Bob Odenkirk. Like some of the guest appearances.
I think John Mulaney.
John Mulaney.
Yes.
Some of the guest appearances are incredible. Obviously, my boy, Mikey. Yeah. Mikey Pizarro. John Bernthal, my guy. Come on. Come on.
He's been a character.
He's been a character throughout the season.
I think that's the first episode, isn't it?
Wait, no.
You see him in the first
episode. He's in season one.
He's in season one.
Yeah.
There's a scene of him, Sugar, and Mikey in the kitchen in season one.
He's also in the last episode, no? Of season one, when like... I believe, what do you call it? Kami is looking forward and then like he looks back at him.
Probably. Is this when he finds the money?
Yeah. Remember, like he's looking forward and then like someone cooking and then he looks back at him.
That would make sense because that's when he finds the money.
Yeah.
In the tomato thing. I think, Mikey Pizarro. I think he's like he's one of my favourite characters without even doing too much.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think he's a great character. And John Bernthal is like one of my favourite like supporting actors across like any film or TV show. He's a great supporting actor. Like, I haven't seen him leading much per se, but I think supporting.
I mean, unless you take the Punisher.
Mikey is to the Bear what Shanks is to One Piece.
That's so true. That's so true.
Let me tell you why. Yeah, it's because Hood is here.
Crazy impact.
No, it's because Hood is here. So he hasn't just got Jay Share. He's got Hood. So he's like, wait, I've got most of the
team. Oh, we got the team.
So me and guys are just like, oh, whatever.
But if you knew how on point that was,
the bro.
Oh, so good.
Oh, guys, if only you guys understood how great that point was.
That was banging.
Please, you're better than this.
But yeah,
don't let him lead you to bad gang.
But with Fishes, it provides the most amount of context, give or take,
no effect,
out of the entire series in terms of episodes.
Yeah.
And Jamie Lee Curtis, whether you like her or not as a person, which is fair enough because I know you don't like her.
And it's
completely understandable. Her character Donna is so intriguing, and the impact that she has on that family, like the entire family.
Everyone
is on tenterhooks and walking on eggshells because they're scared to say the wrong thing. Sugar, mama, you okay? And like Donna just like erupting.
No, it's her holding her face and looking her in the eye. There are so many moments of the Bear where they're regular things to do to your family, but when they do, it's like, it feels so violent, Her holding her face and basically being like, oh my goodness, I'm just picturing that scene, that right there. I was like, oh my God, that's why Sugar's always like this.
Yeah.
That makes sense to why Sugar's like, her anxiety is actually worse than Kami's because she's also pregnant for a lot of it. So we're like,
She has more emotional damage from her mother than anyone.
In the Ice Chips episode, that becomes the most evident thing ever.
Oh my gosh.
Which I think Ice Chips was great.
Or like, anytime she said, are you okay? I was pained for her because I know this is like some weird like automatic trigger in her brain that makes her say this. But it's like obviously it pisses her mum off and that's the last thing she wants to do. But yet she still says it because there's just something in her mind.
And then she wants to still parent Kami, who's constantly refusing to deal with his emotions while she's trying to deal with hers. He won't deal with his.
And then Mikey's got his own. Yeah. Mikey's a drug addict. Yeah, like Mikey's drug addict. Mikey's running his business into the ground. Like they've all got their own issues that they've all picked up from mum. I think their dad, which we find out in Ice Chips, their dad was, he was present per se, but he was more focused on the business. Mm-hmm. And I think you see the two sons pick that habit up where they're so emotionally void, but very much present for the business side of things, which I really, really think is quite an interesting like dive into like family psychology and how trauma is passed down from parent to child and parent to child, which is what Sugar's scared of, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fishes though, the scene at the table when Mikey throws the fork.
The fork.
Oh, guys, I was on edge that entire dinner scene. Yeah. Like honestly, I was like clenching.
Yeah, same. No,
that dinner scene was actually difficult to watch. Oh. But even like the build up, just be in the kitchen. Yeah, that moment, there's just the mess in the kitchen already gave me so much anxiety. But anxiety that shouldn't really happen. I don't really care about stuff like that. But just watching their mess, and it's like, oh, God, you guys don't want to deal with anything here.
Yeah.
Not the mess in your family, not the mess in the kitchen. And you're going to go to dinner table, mess there as well. Yeah. And it's just
I think so many American families could relate to that episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it had such a big impact, because it's like, the way that the house is decorated, it's like your typical American family.
The big Christmas dinner thing.
And, the Christmas dinner aspect. And it's like, it's so big over there in the US where it's like, they just seeing their own family on TV.
Mm. A lot of people said the same thing. But Manny made an interesting point when we podded about this last year, where you get like a moment of, again, calm and solitude between Kami and Mikey. And it's like a minute and a half of just them two talking, which gives you...
In the pantry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And and at the start of the episode as well, where you see the three siblings outside.
Right before we got inside to the
chaos. Oh,
yeah, man. Yeah.
So good.
They have to give us that moment first.
We need to understand that they actually do love each other. And there's actually love there before... They're messed up by their parents.
Deep death before you go see.
And then
you're
like, oh my gosh, yeah, like, yeah. Is that like when the cousins go outside?
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%.
Obviously, they're not smoking weed, but when the cousins go outside and just chat away, and it's like before you get into the house, and it's like, oh, trauma.
Yeah.
Open the door to trauma.
The episode also sets up the following episode. You know when Richie's with his ex-wife,
yeah,
and they're together with the baby, and you learn more about what he wants to do with his life. I think he speaks to Uncle Jimmy, about like giving me an opportunity. I want to do something with myself. Then we go to Forks, and you get like a
before we get into Forks. One character that I want to highlight on Fishers that I think plays such a pivotal part in terms of like just breaking up the tension was the cousin's husband. I can't remember his name. The guy with the glasses.
John Mulaney's
character.
Yeah. Like he broke up the tension so much, especially when he has a conversation with the Fact Brothers, and they're talking about
The baseball cards. Baseball
cards. And then also he has that scene when he's given grace in terms of like, why they think the Seven Fishes thing is an important thing.
Mm.
It says, because you just want to show people that you love them. Mm. And he gives such a nice speech, and I feel like it added so much calm into the scene. And I don't think
they're not used to,
and nobody else would have been able to give us that moment apart from him. And I think he does such a great job in breaking up the tension within that.
Who else was it that was like praising Kami as well in that scene? Was it
his
I think
wife.
It's Uncle Jimmy, no?
Yeah, about going to was it where he goes?
That's
Sarah Paulson.
How proud they are
with the guy's wife. Yeah, because he was like, go to New York, get away from this mess. Because then he can come stay with me.
Exactly.
Oh, great character writing and great character additions.
No, I mean
he was,
I think that episode
healed in New York as well. And it's like, so you get to see the people who sort of helped him in that way, because it was so sweet when you watch that episode. So it just goes to show,
what a series. And then on to your favourite episode. Who wants to take the floor for this one?
I'll let you sort of go first.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
If you can go do this without saying he wears suits, I'll
buy your bottle. Now.
Okay. Really difficult. I don't want the bottle that much.
say the line.
It's more than that, It's more than him changing how he looks, It's more than that. It's just him understanding that there is a hierarchy in things, And it's just his whole business perspective changing, and him wearing suits is the physical manifestation of his, like, of growth. We've actually just watched him grow, and like that is his episode. Like, you've watched his relationship with his wife, and like him kind of be like, yo, I gotta do something in my life here. You know what I mean? I gotta pattern up, and even if it means that I've gotta clean the forks, or I've gotta do that, clean the cutlery before I do anything else.
Mm.
And him understanding that, that person wants this, I'm gonna get them was like a deep pan pizza, like a Chicago pizza. Yeah. And him, the pride he had in that moment of like going to do it and being like, oh, you can actually be great at a role like this.
Yeah.
Versus him in like, was it season one or season two, where Sid has to drive him somewhere because he's on the driving ban. Yeah, and he's like, he needs to get stuff, yeah. And that argument he has with Kami originally versus him in that exact moment having pride of like serving someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why him wearing suits now is so important because you've actually watched him grow.
Mm. Yeah.
And like, that right there, it made me teary-eyed. Like,
no,
that's
a beautiful one.
What I love about this episode as well is because in season two, it was almost foreshadowed. Like, because in the first episode, he has a conversation with Kami about basically. Kind of like, yeah, and he's telling him that story that he was reading a book about, like how to not get left out and stuff like that, right? So you could see like Cousin always had this kind of like like will to
change.
He's
not even Italian.
Show's funny. It's the show's so a comedy, funny. Man. But like to kind of like see that throughout, like because he knows what he needs to do, and like even as you said, like in Fishes, where he's with his wife, and like he's a you can tell he's a clearly caring man. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't know where to put all of that energy into, and then you go into Forks. You see him kind of like learn those habits. And what I think is so beautiful as well is kind of like you start each morning in his apartment, starts off super messy. Yeah. By the time we get to the end of the episode, everything's super clean. Like even he's looking at, like the book is a little bit crooked or whatever. He's just straightening it out. And it's just like learning those habits, learning those things, and finally having that energy to, not even energy. What's that saying?
Finally having that energy to wear suits.
So finally having that energy to wear suits. There you go. And then just learning these things and finding his purpose, like it kind of like becomes a full circle moment because he always thought that he was the character, seeing all of the people around him change. Like Kami's already an excellent chef, same with Sid. Tina's going to culinary school. Like he's looking at it being like, fuck,
where do I fit in?
Yeah. Where do I fit in? But then you almost flip it with by the end of that season two, where like he's already done that growth. And especially when he's having that argument with Kami in the freezer, like Kami somehow is the guy in the story where everyone's kind of like left him, moved on, whether it's like professionally or whatever. And then Kami's the only one who's changed. Like, I just love that full circle moment.
Kami's stuck in the circle.
Can someone let him speak? Because he feels like he's bubbling away.
Yeah, go on.
You know what it is? That episode, why I think it's amazing, because you know at the end when he's listening to Taylor Swift as he's driving, I was like, yo, this song's a banger. What song is this? Bro, I was like, yo, hold on. I was like, yeah, hold on.
No, but that is an important part of the episode.
Yeah, because his daughter's
favourite song.
Yeah, and then he didn't want to listen to it anymore. And then in that episode, he's like, he's probably bumping it, Bears.
Yeah, and I love the, did you want to say something?
Yeah, quickly.
Go on.
I was even saying to guys, like in terms of like what you guys spoke about, like that scene, I didn't even watch the episode. I was watching like a summary episode and someone just describing the scene of him getting the deep dish pizza and running it back. Bro, it almost brought me to tears. Just,
I'm telling you, it's really emotional.
It is.
Bro, just being reminded of the episode and yeah, just him finally finding his purpose. And one thing that I really do appreciate is the something I feel like has been important since the start of season one was that every second counts.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I think him, and I think, I feel like each of the characters are slowly realizing it in their own special way. And I think for Cousin, it's like, I think his perception of it is like not necessarily that every second counts, but every person counts within the kitchen. And I really just really appreciate the fact that he finally got to that stage of realizing that.
Yeah.
Seeing his relationship with the Asian guy and the lady in the kitchen was amazing. And like, I think throughout the episode, and some things I've just watched generally recently, like your moments and interactions with people don't have to be prolonged per se, but they can still be so impactful. Yep. They can still be so meaningful towards your life. Even if it's like a fleeting moment or a fleeting conversation, they can be still such important moments to where you head towards in the for the rest of your life. And I think you see that with Chef Terry, you see that with the other two colleagues that he meets. And then he finds out that Kami actually respects him and rates him.
Yeah.
Just wanted him to be better. And that's so rich coming from Kami in one sense, but it's also like, so human in another, like,
Also, Olivia Colman is in that episode as well.
Yeah, that's Chef Terry. Chef Terry. She's a G, man. Goat,
do you know what I loved is the moment he gets to read out the what is it called? When that they
get the orders,
get the orders through.
I can't remember
because it happens at the restaurant back in Chicago. But when he gets to do that, and you're like, you're watching him almost practice what he's been preaching.
It's like a maestro. Mm.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, he's really good at, like, he actually gets what he's doing. Yeah. There's just little moments I'm just like, oh.
Do you know, with that episode especially, and I think The Bear does this a lot, where it's kind of like it's speaking to people about their own lives, mm-hmm. where you can actually see somebody transforming their own life. Because sometimes when people are like in a shit position or they're in a rut, they don't know what the future can look like or how they're supposed to do it. So when you watch Richie literally wake up, what, like, he wakes up a minute earlier every day, right, in the episode, and it's like, this is all it takes to change your life, and this is what you can do. You just show up every day and you become better, and that's, and it's like you get to see him actually wearing suits, like, that nigga's putting on suits now.
Look,
like,
at that shit on.
Do you know what I mean? And what was he wearing before? God knows, like some marinara sweaty shirts or whatnot. So it's like, actually, that whole episode is how you can change your life.
That's our sixth member over there.
Oh, yeah.
That's our sixth member of the pod.
Fifth.
Okay.
I was mad, yeah. When I watched that episode, I was in the back of an Uber going to the club, yeah. And I've
that is fucking lit.
Like,
this like 7 years ago.
What? Nah, for real.
Chilling like 2, 3, I don't know. But yeah, I was going to Fabric. It was like a recess Fabric, not Village Underground.
Okay.
Sure. And I watched it and I was like, how am I supposed to go in there now and just act like I'm having fun? I'm deeply moved. I'm in a pensive state.
You're so funny.
Well, watching that on the way to the movie is kind of insane, though.
It's like every time sometimes you've got, like, I was feeling every time.
That's so
a beautiful
episode. I'm in the club like this.
You guys don't know. Like, you guys don't know. I just watched.
Yeah,
you guys don't know. They don't know. Before we go to season 3,
yeah,
I think we have to talk about The Bear episode as in season 2, episode 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love the opening because it's Sydney leading the floor, which is like signaling to us that this is going to be the case for the rest of the episode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's so in command, but also very anxiety driven as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we see that, like, when she goes out and vomits, and, you know, when she finds out Carmi's locked in the freezer, she has a moment where she's like, oh shit.
But that's when Richie steps up as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That interaction.
Everyone has their role to play.
Which again comes to this whole full circle moment where everyone has moved on. And Carmi's the only one stuck in the fridge.
And it's his own fault because he didn't want to fix the fridge. Yeah.
He didn't want to fix the fridge. And it's like, it kind of like becomes a point.
No, that was, guys.
Ugh. That's giving Dostoevsky.
Yeah.
See, I'll take that, whatever that means.
Crime and Punishment, read that.
It also kind of shows that Carmi is almost like no longer needed. Because like in season 1, they are like...
let me get you land.
Because you look in season 1, like how heavily dependent they are on him.
On him, yeah.
The only kind of like real chef, so to speak, right? And then by the end of season 2, everyone's functioning. Like everyone stepped up to such a high level that they got able to, able to go through the opening without him, so to speak. And that's not to say that he's not needed ever, but it's almost kind
he
of
he has
like
to fix himself to have his true role to play.
Exactly, yep. Exactly that. And it's just like a thing of like, and you can see it with Carmi as well throughout like the episodes between season 1 and 2 and maybe even a little bit 3. He does have this inherent arrogance about him.
Yeah,
I am the goal.
But that's the reason Tien didn't really like him at first, because it's like, you're not going to come in here think you're better than us after never really coming to this place and telling us that we want to get a star. Fuck you and your star. I think that was
exactly.
That was everyone's mantra, like, fuck you and your star. And that's why Sydney caught smoke. It was residual smoke from Carmi. But yeah, that episode is...
That's a great episode, man.
There's a scene when he's... Obviously, Donna comes as well and she has a conversation with Pete and she says, I don't want to go inside. Because she said, and then she says... I don't think I deserve to see it. And then we have Carmi in the fridge saying that he doesn't think he deserves Claire or deserves to be happy. And like, I really do appreciate the parallels between Carmi and Donna. And even Richie saying, you're just like Donna.
And that sets him off. That sets him off.
Oh, he goes even further. Fuck you. You're not part of his family. Fuck you. You're not a bizarre Donna.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just highlights just how much he is like his mom and he doesn't realize it. But I think them two just lean into different substance to an extent. Like, he's all in. Like, he doesn't know how to do things in moderation. I think that's the biggest issue.
Yeah.
With him not forgetting to call the guy for the fridge because he's spending so much time with Claire. But now he feels like he has to completely cut off Claire just so he can be a full chef in the kitchen. But he doesn't realize that is an illness in itself. Like, he can take things in moderation.
So, quite a bit mech, but you're taking it way too far.
Yeah, because everyone else is managing to balance things. Like, do they have two heads?
And he even mentions that in season 1, episode 10, episode 8, sorry, where he's speaking to, I think he's with the therapist, and he says his brother wouldn't ever let him cook with him or be in the kitchen with him, blah, blah, blah. He's like, fuck you, I'm going to prove to you I can do this. A lot of this is about like self-proving himself to himself as well as his brother,
yeah.
even though his brother's not even here anymore, yeah. which is a wild
and thing. And the thing is, like, I think there's this, like, again, with Kami as well, like, he constantly misunderstands things. Because it's like, the reason why Micah didn't want to let him cook with him is not because he didn't believe that he was good of a cook or anything like that. It's just like, yo, go be your own person. You don't have to do what I do.
Yeah.
Do your own thing.
Because he felt like a dork his entire life, and his Mikey was the cool guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He was just trying to be
also,
like...
Also, Mikey felt cursed by the beef, and he didn't want to curse his own brother.
Exactly that. So he's like, yo, go do your own thing. Like, right, but Kami true. Read it as like, oh, he doesn't think I'm good enough. He doesn't want me to be here or anything like that. Oh, yeah. Man, this is... What are we talking about here? What are we talking about? We're talking about the best show ever.
You know the scene there where like they're on opposite sides of the fridge or the freezer?
Yes. Yeah. That shot right there.
That shot is incredible.
It pissed me off. I just wanted to hit Claire, knock his head.
Bro!
And call me.
But the Claire, it's the same parallel.
Yeah.
I just wanted to knock his head. Honestly, the side-by-side shot, I was just like, call me.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, man.
Shut the fuck up.
But you know what? There's something about him I can't help but like. Still.
Yeah, no,
still
oh,
yeah, of course.
And this is
you
a problem.
You can still see like, There's someone there that can be great, which is the frustrating part. And you're like, Kami, show me.
We all want him to be great, but Kami doesn't want to be great. That is the thing.
He doesn't
want to
be happy.
He thinks greatness is that one thing.
Yeah, what do you think his redeeming qualities are? Like, because we all like Kami, but why?
He's actually really caring. He really does. Yeah, he's really caring. He does. He's got a terrible way of showing it.
Yeah.
But even when he does show it, like the moments again.
He shows it in fleeting moments.
Yeah. Like, oh, I didn't ask for it back. That's him being like, oh, no, I'm proud of you. Go and do what you need to do.
He's quite a
instead
nurturing
he
boss.
Is. Yeah. He does have love in his heart, yeah? Yeah. Like, even the patience he had with Sydney with the reviews episode before he crashed out, he actually was being calm with everyone.
Yeah.
And everyone's, like, trying to show him different things that whole episode. It's like...
But he's only a person.
But he's just he's like, yo, can you guys... Be serious for a second. Like, we fucked up here.
And Marcus is a crazy guy for that.
Marcus, like there's no world.
I'm sorry, Marcus
where
deserved.
Yeah, he deserved that. There's no world.
You're picking this now.
Because, like, the thing is, you can hear everyone screaming in the background, right? Marcus is just like,
and there's grinning teeth as well.
And he actually had to work on.
Yeah.
Because Marcus had other tasks that day. He did. Because remember Kami telling him, like, you had other things to do. But he's like, I don't know, I'll get that done. But I also want to, like, show you something that I've learned all the time.
Do you know what makes that scene much worse? Is because
that's so
Marcus
funny.
Messed up.
Yeah,
Marcus
the thing
messed up
broken?
Before when he was doing too many things. And then remember the beef had to, the electricity went out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marcus was just like, oh, I messed up. And then Kami was like, it's fine, you're gonna mess up again.
Yeah.
It happens, but you just need to
lock in
and show up. And then the next incident is that you not locking at all after you've already like cost us a whole day. Like, you're doing this.
No,
he's just a sweet, innocent summer child.
Kami didn't even do enough. Kami didn't do enough.
Marcus
should have stepped on that. Yeah. Bow!
Don't ever do that. Instead, he scooped it up. It's like,
No, he's funny. I think Marcus is like, he's a great, what's the word? Comic relief. He's great comic relief.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's not intentional. He's just being himself. And that's why I'm like...
Also, so human.
Yeah. Just so proud of what he's done. He just wants to show him, like, hey, man, like, I did this.
It's not the right time.
But, like, look around the room.
But, have some social awareness. Do you know what? He does...
Last time, he lacks social awareness.
It's not the first, it's not the last.
Because we're stuck for time, let's do season three.
Yeah.
Opening episode is... From a visual,
like, you really like that episode, actually.
He loves it more than me.
I love,
but I think that's a.
What is the starting episode?
It's just the montage of
the montage of
Chicago.
Of him,
okay,
yeah. It's just
Bro,
like,
that. Anyway,
of Chicago, also of some of the thoughts that he has, and I like the way the episode frames memories as they're not linear. Memories don't go from the start of your life to the, to the end.
Yeah.
Moments.
They just go in moments where you remember the good, the bad, the medium, the boredom, the craziness. And that's how the episode frames a lot of what he sees or what's around him. Like, there's some shots that are just of him and, like, Will Poulter's character, Chef Lucas, like a different kitchen we've never seen him in before.
Yeah.
And then it's him working with different types of chefs from different parts of the world. And it's like, that's how memories work. And that's what I took from the episode, is this collage of thoughts that he has, which all still boil down to that one night in the kitchen where he wasn't there. For the people that he needed to be there for, not realizing that whilst they did need him, they were capable without
of,
him.
Yeah.
It's crazy because that episode should have been really calm, but it still didn't feel that calm.
Episode one?
Yeah.
Oh, that was very, because I feel like that episode was a visual representation of what was going on in Kami's head.
Yeah, and there's nothing calm about his head.
And he's very chaotic, because I even really did appreciate the fact how that episode ends with him trying to put together a dish and it's all being all chaotic. And at the end, he does it nicely. And this is actually meant to be for Sydney.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really, really nice touch one.
Yeah, but it's just, I feel like it was meant to be a bit more calm. Because honestly, I watched it and I was just like, God, it's just, my heart's just racing, like constantly beating.
And I just say, Sugar in season 3. I thought she was a great character in season 3, man.
Is she your season 3 MVP?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
She was the backbone MVP?
Yeah.
Without her, they would have died.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, she would have actually passed away.
She calms a lot of the storms while she's trying to deal with her own pregnancy.
Yeah, why she, well. Exactly.
No, and it's like that conversation with her and Sydney when she's made her the omelette, yeah.
The omelette.
Guys, try again.
I love Sydney.
Yeah, their relationship, Sugar and Sydney, yeah, together, it was like, Jesus Christ. It was a lot to watch, yeah. But even just her like talking about, she's not really saying much to Sydney at that moment in time, but she's just feeling little bits of like just anxiety. Sydney's been like kind of talking about her fears and whatnot and this and that and this, but not talking in complete sentences. Mm. She doesn't say much to Sydney. Then fleshes it out later when she's talking to Carmi, I'm pretty sure. Is it Carmi she's talking to or Richie? Talking about her fears of motherhood.
Yeah.
Who's it?
She talks to Richie. She talks to Richie.
But she says things to Sydney, but it's not a lot. But it's like, oh, here's this, and Sydney's so proud of what she's made her. Mm. And stuff. But she's like, oh, yeah, thank you, but this. Like, and it's like, oh my goodness, Sugar, like, you're really fighting for your life right now.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Donna, the wickedness you have done.
Oh my God, she's done numbers on that girl.
I know we're jumping. That does take us to Ice Chips, which I know not everybody loved, funnily enough, but I thought it was a great...
Who are those people?
Yeah.
I just want to talk.
You didn't love Ice Chips, did you?
I really like
it. Oh, it's my fault. Yeah, it's my fault.
I think it was talked about so much.
It was my fault.
I went in there I think it definitely changed.
What's Ice Chips?
Donna and
Sugar's
episode.
She's giving birth.
Yeah.
I love Ice Chips.
Yeah,
I think Ice Chips is great.
I love Ice Chips.
Just like the amount of turmoil and trauma that's been passed down. And we see Sugar completely trying to avoid it, and she finally like opens up for the first time ever. And tells her like what you've done to not just us but me specifically. And I would argue she was the worst recipient of
100%. That's 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Despite Carmi maybe being like the most obviously damaged, I think she's...
It's because Carmi doesn't want to deal with it. Like
Sugar tries.
Sugar's trying. She's really trying to be a better person. Carmi's like, I'm a shit person. I'm gonna make it everyone else's problem. Whereas Sugar's like, I'm a shit person. I'm gonna try and deal with it.
She's not a shit person.
Yeah. No.
But she's just.
I'm damaged, but I'm gonna try and deal with it. Carmi's like, I'm damaged. How can we make this worse?
Yeah.
That's what Carmi's mantra is like.
Or how can I run away?
Yeah.
But she's like, trying to heal a damaged person. That's only gonna do you.
Yeah.
And now I really kind of like, To you guys' point, kind of like, because it shows like this parallel, because on the surface, she is the most emotionally person, but like when you really look at it on the inside, she's incredibly like strong, brave, and everything.
Oh, she's the one that's she's carrying them in season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, as a character, at least.
Like, as you were saying, she was the worst recipient of it as well, which I think plays into this whole kind of like mother-daughter aspect as well, where sometimes, especially like, 100%. I guess, like, well, not in my household specifically, but like look at the relationship between my mum and her mum or my grandma in that sense, where...
You're an only child, you are.
No. I got two little brothers.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but...
No.
But like...
How long have you been doing this podcast?
Yeah, for real, I knew you had a young brother. I didn't think you had two.
2 weeks ago.
Nah.
This is my third day out here, man. I knew you had a young brother. I thought it was just one. I thought it was you and him.
Okay, no. I got two. But that's all to say that, like, you can see the differences in how kind of like the mums treat their daughters in comparison to their sons. Because I saw, especially with how Carmi's mum treats Sugar, I was like, instantly saw the
difference between her and the way she treats Carmi and Fishes, for example.
Exactly.
But you're the eldest daughter, aren't you?
No, I have an older sister, but she's not much older than me. Mm. But yeah, this episode for the girls.
Yeah.
Any girl with a mother, like, this is for us.
Crazy. Look, honestly, I watched it, I was just like, fuck me, man.
Man.
But I'm the youngest, but also I've got an
older... I can tell.
Right. Okay. I'm the youngest. But also,
you know what it was? That was said as a slight as well.
Yeah, it was said as a slight. Him, especially. But I've got an older sister, and when we talk about our relationship with my mum, full stop,
different.
She's like, what are you even talking about? Like, the running joke is that my mum fell off, because I've got tattoos and piercings, and quite a lot of them.
Yeah, she's done.
And they were like, your mum fell off, bro. Yep. Because my mum saw my tattoo for the first time, like, last year, my ankle one. Mm. And she's like, oh, another one. That's what she said, my brother was
another one.
And he was like, that's all you gotta say. That's all you gotta say. Yeah, just man. Another one. That's all you gotta say. So you know that she had more before. No, no, no. He's like, yeah, mum fell off. Come on, sister, mum fell off. Mum fell off.
Yeah.
And I was like, goodness gracious me.
That yeah, is the oldest number one.
Man, it's a shame when you see your goat washed.
Yeah,
like, it's a shame.
No, he said when you see your goat washed.
But again, what the show did, it peels layers like slowly. So like, we didn't know much. You could have guessed Donna had her own trauma, but we didn't know until that episode where Donna actually reveals, oh, she had her own emotional baggage and trauma.
She had issues.
Yeah. And she didn't have a husband there to support her raise these kids either. He was too busy with, I'm assuming it's the beef because it's a family restaurant. Like, she's had to do all of this on her own whilst dealing with her own trauma. And that's why Sugar's so scared, because she's like, I've seen that passed down from grandma to mom. I don't want that for my child. Which I thought
she's like getting more involved in the bear as well. She's like, I don't actually want to be my mom. I think that's what I should have just had.
It's a great episode.
Yeah, I think it's the best episode from that season, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got Napkins as one, man.
Napkins is my favourite.
Napkins is great, but I ships the Suffolk. Like, it just felt...
Just speak it out, you might as well.
I
look.
Oopsie.
Yeah, so another five-ish.
15.
We could go on for longer to be...
Another hour.
I think Napkins is the best from season 3.
100%.
Firstly, that being Ayo's debut directorially is
shout to Ayo, friend of
the show. Do you know what? Yeah,
she smashed.
No,
it.
For friend real, of friend indeed. Of the show for real, man. Because that's my leader.
If there's one person, if there's a few, I could have the whole cast of the bear here, friends of the show on the pod, great. But I think I'd want her first.
I think. Yeah. I think
no question.
One person universally.
Ayo.
It's Ayo.
Ayo.
Ayo. Ayo.
Yeah.
It'd be Ayo.
That's a no brainer.
Jeremy.
Though, like.
It'd be Ayo, Jeremy, and Ebon Moss. Yeah.
Okay, we're all in agreement.
Great. But Lionel could be great as a Marcus. That would be Lionel. Fucking cool. Tina, can you? Oh, come Tina on, man!
In fact,
well. I'd get her to say Jeff.
Do you know what?
God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get everyone.
Bring them all.
Get
on, everyone. Guys. Bring them all.
Bring
on.
Them all. Bring them all.
Disney FX, you heard us first, man. We're like probably the biggest fans of the show. I would say, like,
yeah, for sure.
But Napkins is great.
Or just Jason. Just get Jason there.
Yeah. He's the front for us.
Nah, man.
Napkins is brilliant. Jason, is Napkins one of your favorites?
It's one of my favorite episodes. My favorite is episode 10, season 3, man.
All right, we'll save you.
Yeah, well, okay. Like,
Does anyone specifically want to talk about Napkins?
Yes, I do want to talk about Napkins.
Yeah, money.
I think, I know it is a Tina episode, and we'll get into Tina in a second, but I think the amount that we got about Mikey
is my guy.
From that episode. Even
my guy.
Yeah.
Even getting the scene of him sending the picture to Carmi. That we saw the picture at the beginning.
See how proud he was.
Episode 1, yeah.
That's like, it's my brother.
Like, and from previous episodes we don't really get to see Mikey being proud of Carmi, not in that sense. The way that, because I think this is the first time we see Mikey talk about Carmi when Carmi's not there.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see how this is how he feels about his brother. And just the humanization of Tina, because throughout the whole episode, we've been shown her being treated as subhuman to an extent.
Yeah.
From her old employer to the interviews that she was having.
For sure.
She wasn't, and because of her age.
Oh, that one where she
the
got.
The guy
wants like,
to fight him. The guy in the tall building.
Yeah. Yeah, where she got done for the interview.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I wanted to just put my hand through that screen.
Pursuit of happiness.
And she said, fuck you.
It was Pursuit of Happiness.
You heard the conversation we were having about Pursuit of Happiness earlier.
Yeah.
Wait, you're rocking with it.
No, we love
Pursuit
of Happiness.
No, yeah. It's Sam. He's the punk.
I am legend of Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, wait, but why? Quickly, just two seconds.
Because I like to be moved.
Exactly. No, hold up. Just stop there. You're perfect. Yeah. Okay. Correct. Right answer.
Yeah.
Right answer.
See the thing with that scene, though?
Yeah.
Tina's like, fuck you. And the guy's like, oh. Like, that's the first time he realised that he treated her like a person that he listened to what she said.
Yeah.
Because before, he hadn't acknowledged anything she had said. Mm. And then when she showed some sort of passion and anger, he was like, oh, shit. Like, she's cooked me, dog.
Yeah.
She cooked me. But yeah, no, Mikey was great.
The humanization of even when she walks into the beef and then cousin gives her
free sandwich.
Gives a sandwich just to take for free. I think she starts crying when she bites
she
into it.
She does cry.
Yeah, starts crying. Because obviously she's had
that's
a
when
hard
I started crying.
Day. Yeah, I don't blame you. She had a hard day, and it's like the first time all day somebody has shown like any sort of humanity towards her. And then she sits down and has a conversation with Mikey, and Mikey just offers the job.
But again, like what we spoke about before with the series and how you can have fleeting moments and conversations with someone that you've never met before, and they can be such life-changing moments without ever realising. Because she goes from that to becoming a sous chef in a potentially a Michelin star restaurant.
Yeah.
That's wild to think of. But that sparked off like one-off conversation that might not have happened because Mikey didn't have to go and speak to her.
Mikey was a really great person.
No, he is.
Like, he's a fantastic
person. Really, like, the parallels between him and Carmi is crazy. But like,
there's a lot of similarities though.
So similar.
But it's also like, their people skills. Yeah. That's what Mikey was.
That's
just
the biggest difference.
That is the one thing.
The charisma was off the chain.
Yo.
Oh, the conversation.
Aura. That's Aura King.
Aura. Aura
King.
Aura King.
He was Aura farming.
Aura farming. But it wasn't even farming. Him, he was, that's real spill.
It was just straight spill, was, yeah.
Yeah, he was cooking. He was cooking. He was cooking.
No, you couldn't even facts, people, facts.
It was even interesting when you look at the different reasons why they both do what they do, yeah. Mikey specifically said, I did this because of the people, man.
Yeah.
I did this
yeah.
because of the conversations. Kami is chasing this thing that might not ever fulfill what he actually wants from life. It's just what he thinks it is.
I don't even know what Kami really wants to achieve in life, you know?
No, that's why I said might, because yeah. we don't know.
It's
and it's
that's the craziest thing, because like the Bear as a series, we think he wants this really successful restaurant, da da da.
He doesn't
I
know
don't
he
know
wants.
If he really wants it.
He doesn't know what he wants.
I think, I mean, if we're going to go out on a limb and guess, like the only thing that I can imagine is that he just wants to make specifically Mikey proud,
yeah,
and whatnot, because it's like, but that's like, why he goes,
he's already made Mikey proud.
Mm. Yeah, but okay,
but, yeah, but he doesn't know, exactly, he doesn't know
it's
that.
What he thinks would make Mikey proud.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
He's chasing a ghost who already told him when he was alive, hey man, I'm, like, well done.
Yeah,
he's exactly. already done all of that, but he's like, no, I've got to do what he's done. But you got into his business and it was a failing business.
Yeah,
so what are you even chasing at this point? Mm. That's the thing of Kami, like, what are you chasing?
I think in the end when he heals, he'll figure out he's just pursuing his culinary passions.
Yeah,
he just wants to cook. Do you know yeah. what I mean? On some ratatouille.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah,
real. Real.
Real.
Yeah, sure.
That's real. Now, Napkins is a great episode. Like, Tina's journey is beautiful to see. Again, the show does a great job of just adding context where you might not expect it to come.
Mm-hmm.
That episode was kind of, you know, you're going to get something like that. Yeah. But actually getting it for Tina was great.
Yeah.
You get fishes in episode in season two. Like, it does it really, really tastefully. Yeah. You don't just get like a throwback episode for the sake of it because, you know, we need to fill time and space.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually giving you information.
It's just such a great series.
That's a great purpose.
I feel like they treat it really well. And that's the reason that I was shipping Kami and thing. You're not really shipping that, but
mm-hmm.
it's because they were just... they've done everything really well prior. I don't think they'll do anything badly.
Yeah.
Like, agreed. If you want to give us a... not now, though. Kami needs to go to therapy.
Oh,
like,
for
properly,
sure.
though. Not like the therapy's going to...
this guy needs help.
He needs
this guy needs
he needs to get a section for everyone's sake. Just for a bit. Take a seat.
You know what?
And go, him and his sister.
Him and his sister together. Just like...
you know I think would help? A conversation with his mum, which he doesn't want to have.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Which we've not gotten yet.
Which we know that is an episode pending.
We'll be interested to see what direction they'll go with Sugar in season four.
Sorry, because I was talking over you, so I didn't catch it.
Yeah, I'll be interested in what direction they'll go with Sugar in season four.
Mm.
Looking forward to seeing that.
One aspect of season three that's like kind of slept on is Ebro getting the support for the beef aspect, for the like the front serving aspect.
Yep.
I thought that was so cool. Just in that little touch for his character who doesn't get the focus per se.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's such an important part of
just holding like what really that restaurant is to people.
Yeah,
it was cooking that they were making dough. Yeah.
That's what's paying the bills.
That's what they really were known for. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. I didn't realize that Chicago had so many Michelin star restaurants. Because when the series started, I was like, why do I even want to get a star? For like, it's like it's Kami's crazy dreams. Chicago's actually known for their Michelin star restaurants, so it's actually not a crazy thing. Full stop. Because you're gonna say something.
Yeah, so I said, didn't they say in the season three that the restaurant is failing, but the beef part of it is why it's making money?
Yeah,
yeah.
But even like Chicago as a whole, in real life, anyway, is actually known for like these phenomenal restaurants.
Wasn't there an episode where it was like there were restaurants failing around there?
Yeah,
yeah. Wait, I mean towards.
Yeah, and it's like the beef is just.
Season one. When
microphone, kids.
Oh.
when Kami sends city, what do you call it?
Around the place. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, everyone's
and they're trying to nab her as well.
Oh, that's
trying to nab her. That was two.
That's season two. Yeah,
that was crazy.
Speaking of trying to nab Sydney, I cannot wait to see her get the fuck out of that restaurant.
We'll get onto it. We'll get onto it.
Wait,
it's gonna hurt.
It's a big part of season three. So
I don't know. I don't know if I really want to. Like, I want her to go, but like I
think it'll break my heart.
I want her to go.
It's gonna hurt me.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt me. But I just want the best for her.
I want her to go, but I think her long term future is there. It just something has to change.
Yeah,
something has to change. Something
we know it.
The Bear doing really well reflects better on her than any other restaurant doing really well.
Yeah,
the Bear doing really well is actually like her pride and joy in it.
Yeah,
but like if another restaurant that she's working in does well, it's like, yeah, but you're great anyway, so you're gonna be great to this.
Yeah,
but you've transformed this place of Kami.
It's true.
So, I mean, I think it's better if this restaurant gets its star and it's actually like,
yeah,
no, but she,
big deal. I don't know, man.
You need to remember that she, like, with that in that scenario, she can't just up and leave because she'll be a partner.
Yeah,
in the Bear, because
she hasn't signed
a contract. That's not staying for long term.
Yeah,
now, even with season two, when we're talking about Sydney going around and talking to all these different restaurants and about restaurants for you, I think it also adds to anxiety. It would the fear of it not working out.
Plus her dad.
Yeah, with the conversations I had with dad about businesses failing, and then obviously the way that how crazy Kami has been, especially in season two and most parts of season three. So
she's just holding it down.
Yeah, man.
And also, if it blows up, blows up, who's on the papers? It's Kami.
It's Kami.
Yeah.
Not her.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's the problem. But like, you see it all kind of like come to a manifestation towards the end of season three, where she breaks down.
Oh, you know when they're celebrating.
When they're all celebrating all and
with
like
Chef Terry,
and she has the panic attack and stuff like that. And I was just like, nah, this girl needs to get out of here, man. Like, she already had a great offer. 80k a year.
I think she'll cut, but I think she'll end up back there at some point.
Bro,
that's maybe me being Disney. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. She'll grow within the bear. She'll like make it something, and then she'll be like, "I'm off. Like, I'm gonna do me. I'm gonna be a world-renowned chef." Mm-hmm. That's what I want for her. I want her to hit the tap. Leave them niggas in dust.
But you said you liked episode 10 the most, didn't
it? Oh yeah, I liked episode 10 the most, like mainly because of the moment I just said, but also like Kami facing Chef David.
That might be very interesting, like, and important like arc for him going forward.
That, like, for me,
confronting a demon.
Exactly. Yeah. Him confronting his demon, and then the thing that I find so beautiful, which goes back to the whole how well written the show is, like, like, you in real life, you don't often get the answer that you want, especially when you're dealing with...
Oh, Chef,
you
know, David was a dickhead.
He's dickhead. Like, especially when you're dealing with people like who caused you trauma.
Yeah.
And he goes, all right, but look how you turned out.
Yeah, he's like, you're welcome. Yeah. His whole thing was like, you're actually welcome, bro. Actually,
yeah.
I did it twice. Even.
If I had a chance to do it again, I would.
Have you guys seen Whiplash?
Yeah.
Yes. It's exactly that.
Exactly same.
Because even at the end when he's like drumming for his life.
Yeah, exactly. And he smiled at him. Yeah. He's like, what's approval?
But like like with Whiplash, or the difference between that is like the main character himself, like he eventually, like, he revelled in it, like, that's not the right word, but he loved it. Whereas Kami, like, he can still see the damage that he caused him, and then his frustrated tear, I thought that was so real. I was just like, yeah, that is so fucking real, Kami.
It made him human.
It made him so human, but the fact that he kind of, like, he realised, or he recognises the damage that has been caused onto him, and then unknowingly passing that on to Sid, like, he's just like, bro, man, you became the villain you didn't want
to
be.
His heart to know that he's done that to Sydney.
Yeah,
well.
So, oh man, what?
Might be too late.
Exactly. Like, because he's already.
We love this show way too much, you know.
Yeah.
Because we're all just going.
Hopes for season four. Let's do a quick hopes and expectations. I think it.
Nothing.
I think
I just want them to survive.
I think where season three didn't appease everyone, it seemed to have a bit of a slower storytelling purpose where it focused on. It always focuses on characters, but it didn't necessarily move them massively forward.
Yeah.
I think season four will be not a return to form, but a return to like the pace we know the series to be, because this was filmed back to back as well. So I think they did it kind of intentionally.
Mm.
And I think when you watch it back as a whole, let's say in 2 years' time when the bear's done, and we watch season one to season five, if it's five, I think it will go five.
If five or six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see the entire purpose of season three serving a real, like...
I love the pace of season three, and I think it was so necessary.
I thought so.
Again,
yeah.
A super easy binge as well, but it was just like, it filled the gaps in. Like, season two was like, step by step, and then season three was like, actually, you know, here's why this has happened, step by step. It was perfect. When people talk about the pacing, I'm like, guys, you needed, like, you needed to breathe for a second.
Yeah, people weren't impressed by it.
And that upset me. Yeah, I was like, yo.
But I really like it.
I think it just sets apart the people that just watch stuff for no reason compared to the ones who...
Tisha, you guys are real watchers.
Yeah, like, the real viewers.
That's T for me, man.
Yeah.
And I also think... Oh, I've lost it. It's gone. Yeah, that's annoying. I had something and it's completely gone.
Awesome.
You'll remember by the time we do the review for season four.
Yeah, that would be fun. Can I do some games quickly? Yeah, we have to do games, man. Right. I'm gonna go with Jason.
Oh, damn.
On the spot. You have to give us your ranking of the top five episodes from The Bear, 5-1. You have a minute on the clock because Kiz is on me. He says time is ticking.
Okay.
I'm going to put the clock. And you have to give explanations for each, and you've got a minute. Yeah?
Okay. No, that's fine.
So 3, 2, 1, off you go.
Okay. Season 1, episode 7, review. The chaos is fantastic. Then season 2 as my number 4. Episode 6, napkin. No. guys,
we're locked in.
Wait, no, not season two. So season three, episode six, Napkins. Yeah. Tina's like learning That's more about her. Absolutely amazing.
Shout out to Iowa's director debut.
Shout out to Mikey, Mikey as well.
For real, for real. And then three, season two, episode, six. I want to say, is it six?
Fishes.
Yeah. Again, going back to that whole chaos factor, the family dynamics, absolutely amazing.
Supporting characters. That
supporting characters.
Yeah. The guest appearances are crazy.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing. Awesome. And then as my number two, season two, episode seven, Forks.
Oh,
he wears suits about now. Saying. He wears suits now.
I can't think of... that episode without thinking about
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Literally, he wears suits now. Yeah. Wears suits like, now.
I need to know the brand of suits that he wears.
Yeah,
well.
Like that tie was skinny as shit.
Yeah.
And Jason, your number one?
My number one, season three, episode 10. I can't remember the title, episode title name, but I think, I don't know, to just put it in one second.
Episode 10. Oh, I haven't, I thought I had it and I don't. That's bad.
I can't remember
it's
the name.
It's fine, the producer will produce.
Yeah.
It's fine, go on. Cook.
Season three. Episode
Come on
10.
Now, sir.
But,
Ten.
This guy.
Forever.
Oh my God. What a name. But anyway, confronting demons, man.
Yeah.
And the frustration about it all. Tearjerkers all around. Yeah. Cool. Love, love, love.
And who wants to do the final game?
Depends what the game is.
I can't tell you. It's about the bear, though.
I'd like to think so.
That's all I can tell you.
Can we go halves? Me and Manny?
No.
Okay.
Do you want to do a Bisola, should I?
Okay, I do it.
Okay.
All right, Bisola, this is an easy one for you. I need you to give me your top five ranking for the characters.
Oh, easy. Okay, cool.
I don't know why you're so apprehensive.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just really nervous. Okay, so in fifth place.
Guys make you nervous.
Guys does make you nervous. Ew. Okay, fifth place, yeah. Fifth place, I am going to go. Oh, can I group them into one?
No.
What? Oh. You're doing the hosting.
It's not easy.
No, I was going to say the facts.
One, and then put them all at one. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I put the facts at number
one? See, this is where it's hard because there's guys like the facts.
Yeah,
I like
can I put
Uncle
the facts?
Jimmy's. I like
the
facts. Facts is as no, please.
Look at guys. He's the.
Can I put the facts?
You can do number five, but with love.
Okay, cool. Number five with
just
love.
Just give them
the facts.
Just give them so you got number five, yeah?
Yeah, I got the facts at five, yeah. Number four, I would have put Marcus.
Interesting.
I just think he's nuts, yeah? I should put him higher, to be honest, yeah? But I think he's so nuts. And there's just something so, like, oh, it makes my heart warm about him. Mm. Number three, I'm going to put... Fuck, I should have put the facts. Let me start again. Fifth place, I'm going to go with Marcus. Mm. Uh-huh. He's just nuts, but, like, he's learning, he's getting there, and I love him, yeah? Fourth place, I'm going to put Tina. Her growth is just beautiful to see. And it's...
Best character arc.
Yeah,
that's my auntie.
Yeah, for real. Like, she feels like family.
She does.
Yeah. And number three, this is difficult, but I'm going to put Sugar.
She's a great character.
Yeah. I just think she is the bear. Like, she really has done a lot for everyone whilst trying to sort everyone's life out, whilst trying to be a parent to not just her child, but also to Kami. Because Kami needs a mum.
And he's never got one. Yeah.
First baby.
That's her first child.
Yeah.
Is she even? I feel like she's younger than Kami.
She is.
Yeah.
She's the youngest.
Wow.
She's the youngest.
She's not. Yeah, because she's younger than Kami. That's what I'm saying. Like, Kami still needs a mum, and he's looking for a mum and his younger sister. Anyways, Kami's a problem. Number two.
Do you know what? Just to disagree, I think she looks for it in him more than he looks for it from her. I don't think
he doesn't need her to be his mum.
I don't think he looks for it.
No.
He's very dismissive. He might need it, but I don't think he looks for it. Those are two different things.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, in second place, really, really difficult, but I think I'm going to put Kami. I don't know if I'm really mean that, but I feel like I have to. I'll put Kami in second.
I know why you're confused.
Yeah.
Very confused.
Why?
Because someone has to miss out, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but first place will always be Sydney.
Okay. Yeah. So but no Richie.
No Richie, that's the issue. So I'm deciding whether I want Kami or Richie. I'm actually really fighting internally.
Okay, so back up,
but I feel like I'm saying Kami. Why?
So you're fighting between Kami and Richie.
Yeah.
But one of them going to drop out. So why wouldn't one of them have been a free?
Because they serve the same purpose for me.
Okay.
It's not like
Yeah.
Kami can't replace Marcus, nor can Richie replace Marcus, or like Tina.
They can replace each other.
Yeah. I think they're the same. It sounds dumb, but like it's.
I feel like it makes sense.
I accept that.
Thank you very much. And then number one is Sydney. I think she's amazing.
Yes, a wrap up of the pod today, man.
Cheers.
Shout out to our friend of the show, Hood It in the Building.
I didn't expect to get so into it.
You are welcome.
Yeah, come
on. Oh no, I would actually love to.
This was this was great.
Yeah,
this was great.
Hey, you might be one episode away from being told to stay permanently.
That's happened with you.
Go.
Producer Kiz, 5K on the building. Well done to you, bro. Thank you for that.
Thanks so much.
Great work on the YouTube. So it's a great achievement for the podcast. Considering it started in January. 5K on YouTube is quite like an unheard of number.
Hey, mama, we're making out the hood with this one. Making out the hood with this one.
Maybe this is a day job.
It's a great achievement. So shout out to Kiz and Huss, who both worked on that side of things. Right, listen, you know me, I'm a big hater, but I have to give flowers.
Nah, of course.
Nah, he be working hard.
Yeah, trust me. Shout out Huss.
Manny, shut up.
No, actually, shout out Huss.
Manny, shut up.
You say this, you're worse.
I'm not worse.
I have to give credit to you guys as well. It's great co-hosts. You guys do a great job making my life easier. So thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Shout out the greatest host.
I try my best, man. Talk about stuff that we enjoy. So it's easy, isn't it? And guys, if you enjoy our work, make sure to like, share and subscribe. But drop comments about things you liked about the podcast or what you're looking for in the future.
Yeah.
We're always looking for like episode ideas.
So if you want to give it to us, give it to us.
So yeah, feel free to let us know. Spotify, you can do so. And also you can do so on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Instagram, TikTok, we're also reachable on there for the most part.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to get a little... Sorry, man. Sorry, I'm sorry. Couldn't help myself.
If there's any films or TV shows that you think that we should watch or talk about, let us know.
Let us know. Yeah. We've got a lot coming out. We've F1's out at the end of the month.
Oh, yeah. Facts.
And that's got really good early reviews. I know why you're happy.
Nah.
Put it away.
Is this the Damson Idris?
Yeah.
Okay.
The early reviews are really good. Jay saw it and said it's great.
Lewis Hamilton's in it, so it's got a little cameo.
Is Lewis Hamilton about you?
So isn't he producing this film? Isn't that
he's a producer.
Yeah.
We've got Superman coming out at the start of the month of next month. You've got Fantastic Four, Jurassic Park. Mm. So there's loads of like big films coming out. We've got The Bear, which we will definitely do a review for.
Of course.
So it's going to be a fun summer.
Go watch Lollipop when it comes out.
Yeah. And Lollipop is a film. It's one of the two films along with Band of Wallace Island you need to watch.
I'm going
to
watch it. Yeah.
Those are two films. If you're looking for something a bit more sort of low-key, check those out. Mm. And that's us.
Over and out.
Peace.
Over and out.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.